Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges. Today's Tuesday, the day in our rhythm that keeps us all in sync, where we study the Bible together. And today we're going to be studying a section from the book of Jeremiah. It's a prophecy by the prophet Jeremiah. He's a prophet because he had the unique opportunity to speak directly for God and to act directly for God. This book, a very long book, records some of his prophetic words and actions that were meant to communicate something very particular to the people of Israel at that time. Jeremiah was active in about the mid-600s BC. And during that time, Israel was under some great pressures. And a lot of his prophecies were about warning Israel that they were going to soon lose the visible signs of God's special relationship with them, the visible signs of them having been the chosen people of God. They were going to lose their temple, they were going to lose their promised land, they were going to lose their kingship in the line of King David. All these things were soon to be lost, and so Jeremiah was not really the bearer of good news. He had a lot of bad news to share. There was, of course, an upside to all this. It was worth sharing because through that bad news, good things were going to happen. But he shared a lot of bad news, was not well received. He was generally persecuted and not appreciated for the bad news that he did bring. But he's very worthwhile reading. It's one of the longest books in the Bible. Isaiah has more chapters, but Jeremiah has more words. So depending on what measure you use, it may be the longest book in the Bible. So we're not obviously going to read all of it. I'd encourage you to do that. But we're going to read two sections, one today and one tomorrow, that just kind of give you a sense of the character of the book and that are where the book of Jeremiah most clearly points people forward to see how Jesus would be the fulfillment of what Jeremiah was talking about.
Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, concerning the shepherds who care for my people. You have scattered my flock and have driven them away, and you have not attended them. Behold, I will attend to you for your evil deeds, declares the Lord. Then I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their fold, and they shall be fruitful and multiply, and I will set shepherds over them who will care for them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be missing, declares the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In his days, Judah will be saved, and Israel will dwell securely. And this is the name by which he will be called, the Lord is our righteousness.
So the passage opens with a sense that God's people of Israel have been mismanaged by some false shepherds who have not had the interests of the sheep, the people of Israel, in mind as they've been leading and governing. This is a big part of why God says the destruction of some of these things that are near and dear to the Jewish people are coming because of this willful disobedience, willful mismanagement. He needs to, in some ways, purify his people, his chosen nation. So he's warning them that the sheep are going to be scattered. There's going to be a time where the Israelites live in exile. They won't be living in their land. They won't be self-governed by kings in the line of King David. They won't have their temple and their priesthood structure intact. Things are going to be very different from what they know and love today. He's warning them that that is coming. So clearly that was bad news, especially for a people who had become so defined by those things, their land, their temple, their kingship. These had come to really define the Jewish people. So this was extremely bad news that Jeremiah was prophesying. That's why it wasn't well received. But there was an upside to this bad news. Someday, he wanted the people to remember this. God wanted the people to remember that someday he would regather a faithful remnant of the Jewish people, and they would repopulate Jerusalem, they'd repopulate the Promised Land as sort of a new, purified, new Jerusalem. This he wanted them to remember. He wanted to redefine his people. He didn't want them to be defined by a physical structure of a temple and a physical land. He wanted them to be defined by their faithfulness to their God, to Yahweh. To do that, to break that cycle of dependence on those other things, he needed to really, unfortunately, bring them this bad news that they'd be away from all those things for a time. The bad news was hopefully going to lead to good news, though. There was hope and a future in what he said, even if it was going to be scary. Now, on the one hand, it seems like this prophecy was for the immediate future. This did happen. The Israelites were exiled. They were sent away from their land. They did lose access to their temple. They weren't self-governed anymore. That all happened, and someday they did return to their own land. They had a temple once again. They had some form of self-governance again, but not completely. These things being prophesied here weren't completely in effect, because you can see this prophesies that there were going to be, you know, these perfect kings, perfect rule, and that this ruler would be called the Lord. That doesn't sound like the rest of Israel's history, if you were to go on and read more of their history. That part didn't happen. This was no perfect utopian world. They still didn't live in the peace and calm with no fear like this passage describes. So on the one hand, there are aspects of this passage that were fulfilled right away. But on the other hand, this passage was describing some future realities as well. That someday they would populate a new kind of New Jerusalem, where there would be no fear, no pain, no sorrow, where they would be self-governed by a perfect king. That part wasn't going to be fulfilled in the immediate future, but it was fulfilled by Jesus. In the big picture of the Bible, God's people had once been one in the Garden of Eden, and then they rebelled against God, and eventually that led to their being scattered across the earth after the incident at the Tower of Babel. So God's people have been scattered by sin and rebellion against Him. But God has a plan, an ultimate plan, to regather His people to populate a new Garden of Eden, a new Jerusalem called the Kingdom of God. And that plan came into effect when Jesus, God in the flesh, came to earth. God's kingdom is becoming a reality. We're now moving steadily towards the Kingdom of God, the Kingdom of Heaven, the New Jerusalem. What this prophecy in Isaiah was predicting would happen not just in the immediate, but in fulfillment of all that had happened, in fulfillment of God's covenant plan to someday restore His people to a right relationship with Him and to bring them together once again after having been scattered. That's what Jesus was doing, fulfilling this prophecy and all the others that were in the Old Testament. We're going to look at another aspect of Jeremiah's prophecy that points to Jesus as well. But you can see how this one certainly was pointing to Jesus in how it talked about this coming perfect king fulfilling this kingdom promise, and how this king would be like no other king. He would be perfect, and he would be called the Lord. No other king but Jesus could be called that. So here's a question for you to think about and discuss with your group. Describe this new way of life, this new kingdom, in your own words. What would the Kingdom of Heaven or the New Jerusalem be like, based on what you've learned here and elsewhere in the Bible? Have a great discussion. I'll see you tomorrow.